College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, let's talk with our Odyssey NBA insider, Nick Friedel. Good morning, sir.
Guys, it's great to be with you.
Yeah, thank you very much for jumping on with us. I know there's a lot of Mav stuff to get to, but I had a couple of other NBA questions for you first. With the news about Jason Tatum, which as soon as we saw it, it felt like that's what was happening. Do you think he's also done for most, if not all, of next season?
Yes. I lived this watching Derrick Rose. Obviously, that was an ACL injury years ago in the postseason in Chicago. And then, of course, Kevin Durant a few years ago in that last year when he was with the Warriors. It would really surprise me, guys, especially in this day and age when players and teams are being more cautious about not rushing guys back to the floor if we saw Tatum back next year. And that, to me, is the hardest part for the Celtics because, you know, you lose Tatum, the Knicks have all this momentum. It didn't feel like they were going to get it done, certainly now in this series in the moment. But what is just an absolute crusher for Boston moving forward is I wouldn't expect Tatum to be back next year either. And we know all the salary cap ramifications and the money that's involved. Boston's future suddenly looks a lot cloudier than it did a couple days ago.
So I'm glad that you said that. And I know this is still a weird question for a team that is, you know, still technically the defending champions. But does it feel like there is going to be a lot of change this offseason in Boston potentially?
I think there has to be because what people forget a lot of times when you're watching these teams is that it's still a business. And if the Celtics, and they're going through an ownership change of their own, which is part of the entire conversation, but if they look in the mirror and they say, our best player, the guy who led us with Jaylen Brown to a title last year, is out for all of next year, why are we going to go all the way up money-wise the way we had planned to when realistically, if you're playing without Tatum, you're just not going to win a title next year. I don't care how good the other players are on the team. There's a reality that sets in that moment where you find out that the injury is as bad as it is. So I don't think there's any doubt in my mind, if you're the Celtics, you can't just run things back the way you want it to because the money is exorbitant and the reality is they're just not good enough without the best player on the floor.
How much do you think the NBA would love to see Anthony Edwards, the guy that they would love to be the face, play in New York in the NBA Finals?
Funny, I was texting my buddies last night. I said, Adam Silver has got to be absolutely praying every night. And Anthony Edwards now coming out of the West would be crucial. But I'd take it a step further and say, as much as they'd like to see Anthony Edwards, the team that they're just praying actually gets all the way through is the Knicks.
Yeah, yes.
There's a chance, guys, that if you're sitting there and you're the NBA, there is a very realistic chance at this point that it could end up being Pacers Thunder. I mean,
look at those markets.
The diehards, they know that those are two very good teams. They've got young stars. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is going to win the MVP. Halliburton looks like the player that was dominating a couple years ago, and he's gone through some ups and downs in between. But you can't tell me the people that don't watch the NBA and the casual fan that the league has always hoping appears for at the finals are going to sit there and tune into Pacers and Thunder. So, yes, Anthony Edwards is awesome. He's got the personality. That the conversation about him being the new face, it certainly isn't going anywhere, especially if they get through Golden State and they can find a way into the finals. But the team that the NBA desperately needs as far as viewership and ratings and on is the Knicks, because games, finals games at the Garden would be unbelievable. And if it ends up being the Pacers, that is not a good thing for the league itself.
Now, you keep saying they desperately need this and they can pray for it, or do you think the NBA can just rig it like they did the draft lottery for the Mavericks? You know what I'm saying?
I've had way too many friends through the years, guys, that have been in that room, the room where you get sequestered and your phone is gone, to actually believe that it got rigged. But I can't tell you in that moment. The other night, how many people are texting me going, oh, this is rigged. I mean, there was just no way. But again, I spent a lot of time in Chicago. The Bulls did it in that Derrick Rose draft. The Mavericks getting Cooper Flagg. The questions about the lottery being rigged are always going to be around. I personally don't believe it. It's a great thing for Dallas, given all the things that they went through. But I was like everybody else and sitting there going, you got to be kidding me. The Mavericks, after all the Lucas stuff, they are the ones that are going to get Cooper Flagg. But everything happened the way that they needed it to. And it is certainly a fun storyline going into next year about just how quickly things have turned around for that group.
Talk with our Odyssey NBA insider, Nick Friedell. Insider calls are brought to you by Hyundai. Hyundai helps you protect you and your family on the road. We put your safety first and everything else second. Now, I know we talked about like the ratings possibility of the Pacers, but from a strictly basketball perspective, man, the Pacers with the gentleman's sweep of the Cavs, that still feels shocking. Donovan Mitchell on and off injury.
College football summer is no time to slouch, because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series, as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit, as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Three problems or not?
It is, and it reminds me one more time that as great as a team can look in the regular season, the playoffs are just different. And Cleveland fans would say, oh, well, we weren't healthy and Mitchell wasn't the same player. Fine. But don't hit me again with, oh, the Cavs, they're just dominating in these games in January and February. Oh, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. No, because the playoffs are a completely different game. And we've seen it time and again. And I think as far as the Pacers go, the confidence that they got last year and to go into Madison Square Garden and to win that game 7 and to know that you can play at a different level when the games matter the most, that is crucial. So when people say, oh, well, sometimes the momentum doesn't carry over season to season, I think the Pacers are case in point that it does, and it can. And so all those young players on that roster, and you get Halliburton playing at the level he's at, when you can do that, you're not going to go into any other atmosphere and go, I don't know if we can make this happen, because they already did. And so it was clear watching those games, Indiana's just a better team. The hard part, again, and this ties into a larger NBA conversation, is that unless you're following the league day-to-day, most people don't even pay attention to the Pacers.
Yeah.
So they're going, who are these guys? What's happening? But they get paid like everybody else. Rick Carlisle is a hell of a coach, yep, as you guys well know, over time, and there is trust on the floor when you watch that group. And when you have that, especially in the postseason, you can make a lot of stuff happen.
Now, Nick, my co-host, Kevin, is a big Duke fan, so he got to see it firsthand. But yesterday, a lot of our listeners were like, don't oversell this kid. Don't oversell Cooper Flagg.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was, from a guy who's kind of seen the whole league and watched it that way and probably watched this kid, is there any overselling him or is the product real?
He's that good. He's that good. And I would tell anybody who's sitting there going, I don't know, really, after 1 year at Duke, when you talk to people around the league and you ask them about what they saw from Cooper Flagg and what they've been hearing, not just last year, but the last few years, the list of people that you would trade right now to trade places. Yeah, I mean, Cooper Flagg is already one of those guys who, as far as building a team around, I mean, guys, that list, it's not 10 people long. And can he get to the level of the top tier stars in the game? I think he can. I really do. And I think that when you have that and you have the trust in a player and how much he's going to be able to grow as he continues to work in his game, the Mavs just, they lucked out in the best possible way from a basketball standpoint, because this kid is that good and he's going to get better and he is the star that any team dreams about, that you have to have to win titles. I mean, he is that guy. There's just not much doubt in my mind as I talk to NBA personnel that not only is he that good in the moment, but he's going to make everybody else around him that much better. And that's why I was just in disbelief.
Yeah.
the Mavs, they needed a break of breaks for it to happen. They got it. And I think that this kid is the real deal, and we're going to see it really early on once he gets there.
I know some people will already argue for Cooper Flagg can move about 1-5 offensively and defensively, but I would make the argument that at the 2, 3, and 4, he's already has the potential to be very effective offensively and defensively. Does that feel fair?
Very fair. And there's a reason why the hype was what it was. And guys, when you're watching Duke, and I know the college game certainly isn't close to what it used to be, and the talent level night to night isn't there, but there were times that you would watch those games, and certainly you saw it as a fan. He's just dominating. these other kids on the floor, they had no chance. So when you're at that point already, and like you said, 2, 3, 4, you could put him anywhere. That's what makes him so intriguing on the NBA level, because already that learning curve that is usually so steep for a lot of young players, it's just not there with him. And going to the league and going through those ups and downs that every young prospect has to deal with, that's going to be tough on its own, but I think that this guy can handle it. And there's a reason why he made so many different people in the NBA so excited about the possibility of drafting him. And frankly, guys, that's why I was laughing when people were bringing up in the last couple of days, oh, well, you could trade him for this guy that he'll be trading Cooper Flagg. I mean, my old buddy Tim McMahon, you know, he put the story out. But I'm sitting there laughing going, you don't understand. Like, this is that guy. This is the guy that can change the level and the arc of a team on his own for the next decade. The Mavs got him. They went through all the things in the last few months to get to this point, but they got the dude that so many other NBA teams wanted.
So don't trade him to the Lakers to get Luka back is what I'm hearing, man.
No, do not trade this dude for damn near anybody. He's that good.
I love it. Thank you very much. Great insight this morning. Really appreciate your time, sir.
It was great to be with you guys. Have a great day.
There you go. That was Odyssey Sports NBA Insider Nick Friedell. Insider calls are brought to you by Hyundai. We put your safety first and everything else second. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
I like that guy, man. I like that.
He likes to laugh. Yeah, that was fun.
That dude had great personality. I think we could have him back on at some point.
All right. Let's make it happen.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.